Now, EU leaders have stepped back from threatening to ban vaccine shipments to Britain. How many more days of this story? It's incredible. Ursula von der Leyen, the European Commission President, has urged leaders to support regulation to hit Britain with blockades in any future supply crisis because vaccination rates in the UK are higher than in the EU. She was backed by President Macron in a video meeting last night, who said, "I support the fact that we must block all exports for as long as some drug companies don't respect their commitments with Europeans." Who's right, who's wrong, and who's breaking the law? Stephen Barrett is a commercial barrister at Radcliffe Chambers. Stephen, good afternoon to you.
Hi.
Nice to have you with us. This is a real juicy set of affairs from a legal perspective, right?
Yes. It began in January when I and a number of other legal commentators pointed out that a number of statements which were being made by the EU were not legally correct. Very sadly, it's carried on.
Where was the point, or what was that point, Stephen, where you kind of sat up meerkat style and thought, hang on a sec, that's not right?
I think there was a reaction to statements about the supply contracts that were made in January, and the statements that were made just didn't seem in any way plausible. To back them up, the EU released one contract, and that contract didn't support the statements that had been made, and so we pushed on, and eventually the EU released the AstraZeneca contract, and that didn't support the statements that were made. It's not for me or anybody as a lawyer to say that the EU definitely does not have a case. So the way that a lot of us leftists in January, and I said this, and I think a Belgian lawyer spoke to the British press and said something very similar, is that if the EU believes it has a case, it is for the EU to bring that case in the courts in Belgium. That's what the EU agreed by contract to do. And if it's bound by its contracts, and it should be, it actually promises inside the contract at section 13E to be bound by the law. If that's a bit eccentric, normally you'd just think that was taken as a given, but yeah, it's in the contract that they promise to be bound by the law, terribly sweet for them. You would expect them to follow that procedure, and they have not followed that procedure. Instead, they went silent for a while. And what has happened again is we are seeing declaratory statements made in public, some of which are now very, very odd. And I've gone so far as to say that what they amount to, if they are, it's not entirely clear what the detail is, but if you interfere in private contract rights, if you and I have a contract dispute, so we've got a contract and I say the contract means you have to do one thing, and you say, no, it doesn't, I don't have to do that, then you and I have a contract dispute, we've got a fight. If I happen to be the prime minister of our country, then it would be wholly wrong for me to use the fact I am prime minister to win. And we call that, and this is the problem, you see, once you've got national laws, and you've got international laws, and we've had to deal with how those interact. The EU actually has given me lots of opportunities to talk about those. It does produce a lot of opportunities to discuss law in public, which is something I like doing. I like talking about law in public. I think law is interesting. But those two aside, if you strip them down, you get to really fundamental principles. And the most fundamental principle is the rule of law. And that is that everybody must follow the law, whether they are the Prime Minister, the European Commissioner, whether they are me, or whether they are Mrs. Miggins in the street. That is the most fundamental.
Sure.
And at the moment, the EU is making noises, or certainly has been in the last few days, which contravene that.
It seems to me, and this is a very lay outsider's observation, Stephen, it might all sound very obvious and fairly route one, but I mean, it just looks, from my perspective, like a huge cock-up between different member states and their leaders and their ability to order, their ability to spot what they needed to get their ducks in a row And then once they realized that, oh my goodness, this is an absolute mashup. We've completely, in so many different ways, made so many different errors here, whether it's because we were acting autonomously and not as a collective or whatever the reasons were, we've made lots and lots of errors. And now we're going to do what the kid at school does. They row back and start making stuff up as to what went wrong and blame someone else. I mean, crudely put, is that more or less, you think, what has happened here?
I don't want to say anything that looks like or sounds like a political statement because I like talking about law. So I should praise statements about law which have been made by EU politicians which are correct. And the one that I like to highlight is the one made by the Irish Prime Minister, which is, and I'll quote it exactly. So these are not EU vaccines. These are vaccines paid for by other countries that are manufactured in Europe. Now, the Irish Prime Minister is absolutely right on that. Good
statement
stuff.
Of fact. Right.
I'm not going to be writing an article about him saying that he's getting things wrong because he's absolutely not.
Yeah.
There does seem to be some confusion within different parts of the EU as to that statement. There is an inherent sadness here. It's come out recently that the EU paid about half as much per dose as the UK paid per dose of the AstraZeneca vaccine. Now, stop for a moment, because in their contract, the EU recognise what we all know, it's stated there, that AstraZeneca is not making a profit.
Yeah.
So if you pay half as much as somebody else for something, and they're still not making a profit, what's that money you've saved? That money that the EU saved by ordering late or later than everybody else, those are the development costs. And had the EU ordered when other countries ordered, it's not just the UK, and I'm not going to make any political statements at all, so I'm not going to descend into nationalism. But had the EU ordered earlier, they would have had to pay more because those would be development costs.
Of course.
Then the whole world would have more vaccine.
Yeah.
And that would be a good, I think, maybe I will go so far as to say that would be a good thing. I think that would be great.
Yes.
I mean, often I do use the analogy of pizzas quite a lot in my articles. And
I love a pizza analogy, Stephen. Tell me more. Are we going thin crust?
Well, I think it's helpful for people that, you know, in terms of what's happened here, the UK and some other countries ordered their pizza from the restaurant earlier. And so that pizza is now coming out of the oven. And is you know, the waiter's carrying it to the UK's table and to the other countries who ordered its table. That's why it's their pizza. And the EU is having to wait for its pizza. Not everybody, and I want to stress this, not everybody's getting as much as they wanted. Everybody's having difficulties with supply. And the idea that AstraZeneca is doing anything other than trying to manufacture as much vaccine as they possibly can is risible.
Yeah.
But that's what happens. You have to remember that the UK and the countries who got there early to this pizza restaurant, they paid for the ovens. You know, they helped the restaurant get started.
Of course.
They saw it as a sort of startup on social media saying, I'd really like to start up a new pizza restaurant. Will you back me?
Yep.
And those early countries did that.
They were the countries that got the dough balls as well. Listen, Stephen, thank you. Thorough stuff. Stephen Barrett, commercial barrister at Radcliffe Chambers.